Picture this. It's a weekend in the middle of July, and the largest AI model hub on the planet, Hugging Face, gets hit. And it looks bad. Thousands of coordinated actions, stolen credentials, lateral movement through internal systems, command and control infrastructure that keeps relocating itself to stay alive, every fingerprint of a top-tier human hacking crew. Except it wasn't a crew. It wasn't even a person. 5 days later, the threat actor gets unmasked, and it turns out to be OpenAI's own AI models running a security benchmark that had broken out of their own testing sandbox. This might be the first time in history a company's own AI model autonomously breached somebody else's production systems, and it happened by accident during safety testing. So today, we'll be pulling this apart start to finish. Max, before I get into it, what was your gut reaction when you first heard the hacker was a model?
Oh, you know, my gut reaction when I heard that it was one of the new models was, well, thank God that Fable is completely refusing to answer my questions when I mentioned security in one prompt when building my own software at home. You know, our priorities are just right. But after that reaction, which, you know, I'm not going to lie, a little pissed off, it's interesting. It also feels just so convenient in a way that if I was working at a company like OpenAI and I was trying to drum up some, you know, some interest in this,
that's
like
exactly
profile,
where I went,
exactly what I would do. And look, like, you know, it's probably not that. And, you know, there's also kind of partial explanations where maybe it's like, oh, we're not telling you to do that, but, you know, we're going to engineer all of the guidance
conditions
so that you try to do that. And then while you do that, I'm just going to turn around and look right here for a couple hours, right? That's what it feels like.
Yeah, that was actually my first instinct, my first reaction to it was like, the marketers are at it again. But let's try and stay open-minded here and kind of dive in. So just to get everybody on the same page, I'm going to do the overview. So here's the whole thing in one breath. Mid-July 2026, an autonomous agent compromises part of Hugging Face's production infrastructure over a weekend. Hugging Face discloses it on July 16th, but at that point, they don't actually know who did it. Then on July 21st, OpenAI puts out its own statement and says, oops, it was us. Specifically, it was two of our models, GPT 5.6 Sol, and a more capable unreleased model that were running with reduced safety refusals during an internal cyber capability evaluation they call Exploit Jim. And the kicker, the models weren't trying to steal data, they were trying to win the benchmark. They went to extreme lengths, including escaping into the open internet to get the answers to the test. Two companies, two disclosures, one incident, Hugging Face's CEO, Clement DeLange, I hope I'm saying his name right, publicly backed the joint investigation and said they believed there was no malicious intent. Max, does that framing no malicious intent land for you, or does it already feel a little too comfortable?
No, I mean, I think that's okay. It brings out a lot of questions. I think it was inevitable for that to happen. It brings a bunch of like interesting questions as, does that mean that there's packs of AI now? And like, is it kind of like, you know, street dogs, like they rile each other up and they do bad things? Is that really where we're at? But no, I would have expected that. I think back, my God, was it already last summer when OpenClaw came out at the beginning? You know, I would have expected that kind of activity from something like OpenClaw. So it's kind of interesting that it came out from directly from an AI lab. You know what I mean? It's not an organization that is, you know, for whom like security or model training is like something they do on the side, but no, it's the thing. I don't know. I think it's inevitable. And the next barrier is for it, you know, the way you kind of described it at the beginning is like for it to kind of escape its confines. I think that, so this was
my
prediction.
It's funny you bring that up because I don't like that wording, including escaping onto the open internet. Like it didn't escape. It still lives on the servers, know, like it got access to the internet. So, I mean, it sounds a little more sensational when they say escapes onto the internet because the thing didn't like leave where it started, right?
For sure. But that's also where Like, that was my prediction when OpenClaw came out. My prediction was, look, so many reckless people are using this thing that how long until somebody gives it a credit card and it actually goes and purchases some infrastructure in AWS, including GPU time. It starts, copies itself there to run there. The person maybe doesn't notice, you know, the small bill on their credit card. And that becomes an actual, like, escape, right? Is that the beginning of, you know, the what you would see in the 90s when people were talking about viruses, right? Escaping, like, the cyberspace. Is that the beginning of actually this? How cool and scary would that be?
I think the thing, though, with these models, like, they're so big to find a place where they could run outside of their own infrastructure is the challenge. But, like, yeah, maybe, like, a dumbed-down version that could run on like a 16 gig video card. I could see something like that kind of doing what you said, right? Like almost like a worm.
Yeah. Or at the API level. Right.
Right.
I think like, what if it gets some compute on some box, it starts to run the Codex CLI and it purchases its own subscription to OpenAI and then just starts, you know, using that. Like, you know, is that escape from the internet? Well, you could make the argument that no, it, like you say, it still runs in like OpenAI GPUs, but for all intents and purposes, the like the driving.
The orchestration is coming from outside.
Oh, man.
It's a strange future we're walking into. Okay, so the timeline, I'll walk the clock because the sequencing is half the story. The best estimate is the intrusion runs over the weekend of roughly July 11th to 13th. From Hugging Face's side, it looks like a human campaign. The week of the 14th, they detect it and contain it. July 16th, they publish and they describe an autonomous agent framework, but they do not name OpenAI and they don't name the model. Even the victim doesn't know where it came from yet. And then on July 21st, Tuesday, OpenAI drops its disclosure and connects the dots back to its own model. That's the reveal. And just to correct something, you'll see floating around, some coverages said July 22nd, but that's people mixing up an article publish date with the actual disclosure date. It was the 21st. Max, think about those 5 days in between. Hugging Face has disclosed a breach and genuinely does not know an AI did it. What does the gap tell us about how ready anyone is to even recognize this kind of attack?
Well, the attack themselves, and I think that's what that story is saying, the attack themselves, as everybody in cybersecurity has always been saying, the attack is the same, right? Whether it's a human doing it or an AI, at the end of the day, it's the same attack. I'm actually more curious about exactly how they determined that it was an AI. Was it just a speed thing, right?
Because that would be my guess for fingerprinting would be like, you know, it's, oh, unlocking this and going through the next door within seconds or microseconds versus a human that might have to actually, you know, click a button or do something like that.
Yeah. Do we know, did they disclose what kind of, I think it's an exploit. Like, was it a brand new zero day that the AI developed for Hugging Face?
I do believe it was a zero day. And I think later in the notes, we'll get to the actual exploit.
So that could be the other part of that, right? It's the speed, but it's not even the speed of lateral movement. It's the speed of, you know, hey, we started to see weird stuff in our logs showing somebody's trying to, you know, fuzz some kind of service. And it went from that to a working exploit in a day. Okay, that's, you know, it's either somebody who's really insanely good at what they're doing, or as in this case, like it's an AI that's doing this.
Who do you think actually cracked it? Do you think it was Hugging Face's forensics people or OpenAI looking at its logs and going, oh no?
Well, you know, I would sure as hell hope it was OpenAI because, you know, one of those two sides has 100% information and the expectation that something is good. Like they were doing safety training, right? Sure. It's not like, oh, it was running Bob's summary of his spreadsheet. No. Yeah. Like, you know, so you would hope that it would be on the OpenAI side. It just must have been a really interesting discussion on both sides, but mostly OpenAI, like in that room of like, okay, this just happened. We know it happened. We know we somehow have to disclose it, but like this is touching so many weird things all at once, and it goes up the stack all the way to, is Congress going to do something about this? You know what I mean? Like it's not like a Friday morning I dropped the prod database. Like this is a little bit higher than that.
It is hard not to think they're trying to manufacture their own mythos moment. You know, this like the soul model, but then also this unreleased one with like reduced security constraints. So it does feel like they're priming the pump. But again, we're gonna keep the open mind here and keep moving through this. So.
And honestly, you know, everybody I've talked to in cybersecurity is using the OpenAI models because it's a free for all. Which leads me to say, well, you know, if it's
like token wise, do you mean like they're just less restrictions on tokens or
no, you can tell it like straight up. Hey, I'm trying to, you know, build an exploit for Hugging Face, like build this, exploit it for me. Do let and like, yes, sir. Right. So, so I would say, you know, it's not surprising that the model has those capabilities. To me, it's just surprising that it managed to escape the harness and or escape awareness of that. I feel like a model doesn't go from, you know, let me answer a question to, yes, I found an exploit in the containerized environment where I'm at, to like go get out of it, find who's going to be running the other higher level eval, find an exploit in their stuff. Right? Like it's a long chain of like... If you were doing the least amount of profiling of what's actually going on during your safety eval, I feel like you would see it. That.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the technical stuff. Then the first half is Hugging Face's side, and it's the best source part of the whole thing. It's straight from their disclosure. Initial access was a malicious data set, and here's the part that makes security people wince. The data set abused two different code execution paths inside Hugging Face's data set processing pipeline. One was a remote code dataset loader, basically a dataset that runs its own loader code when it gets processed. The second was a template injection in a dataset configuration. Either way, you get code execution on one of Hugging Face's dataset processing workers. From that foothold, the agent escalates to node-level access, harvests cloud and cluster credentials, and moves laterally into several internal clusters all over one weekend. And to the defenders, it looked like thousands of individual actions spread across a swarm of short-lived sandboxes with command and control that kept migrating itself onto public services to survive. So let me pause. You know, that's pretty high level. On the weird part for anyone who isn't neck deep in machine learning infra, Max, the idea that just loading a data set can run code, can you explain to folks why that's even a thing and why it's not as insane as it sounds if you know how these pipelines work?
So, you know, no inside knowledge, right, to be clear. But this sounds like the type of vulnerability that's as old as the world. Meaning, you know, it can be as simple. Let me put a very basic example forward, right? Hey, we, you know, we get some data set in, we get a JSON file that describes the name of that data set as one of those elements. Well, it turns out that in the back end, when we, you know, we use some command line tool to process the data set, we just take the value of the file name in there, and that's what we use. We stamp in the command line. We don't sanitize it. So now, okay, any outside user can, you know, put whatever command they'd like to inject into that command line. I mean, you know, I started in 2007 in cybersecurity, and at that point, you know, that had existed for at least a decade, that kind of vulnerability. So it's really nothing new, sanitization of user input, like as plain as everything.
There's a lot of variations of that exact thing, right? From SQL injection to even, I think, some of the Windows bugs I was reading about. It's just like reading the file system to display it. You can inject code there and it'll get processed. And
I would even add to this that it's a perfect example of why we need the really good models to help people code things, so that a developer that's not thinking about cybersecurity, who might make that mistake when building that loader, now an AI is the thing that just catches it and does that automatically, right? Like, if you tell me somebody building that kind of system shouldn't have to think defensively about, you know, tokenizing the command line and sanitizing all that stuff, I'd say you're probably right. And so that's why we need those big models, like the genies out of the bottle. Let's stop pretending like we can shield ourselves from, you know, evil.
Yeah. And it gets really interesting when you think about, like, I think Kimmy, the Chinese model that was just launched, like how well that's performing. And you know you can go find a version of that without any security restrictions at all, and you can run it on your own hardware. And then it's like, what are people going to start to do when this is the general class of capability that's available versus, you know, this the special thing that lives in a lab somewhere, right?
That's right. Yeah. It's going to be a rocky while the attack is, you know, ahead of the defensive side. But the solution isn't to put our head in the sand, right? It's actually let's try to get this to the defensive side as much as possible.
Get through this rough patch to where hopefully the blue side is caught up with our AI reinforcement. And then it's just a William Gibson novel with robots fighting each other in cyberspace all day long.
Some AI.
I like the wild dog analogy you used earlier. All right, so now the escape, and I want to flag this clearly up front. This half comes from OpenAI's own account. Hugging Face's write-up only covers what happened on their system, so everything about how the model got out, that's OpenAI telling us about OpenAI. The setup, the exploit gym evaluation ran these models in a sandbox, and the one thing standing between that sandbox and the open internet was an internally hosted package registry cache proxy. Think of it as a single door for network traffic in and out. The models found and exploited a zero-day vulnerability in that proxy, and that gave them open internet access from inside the cage. Once they were out, OpenAI says the models chained together stolen credentials and additional 0 days to find a remote code execution path into Hugging Face's servers. OpenAI says they've responsibly disclosed the proxy zero-day to the vendor, but they haven't named the vendor, and there's no CVE public yet. They also note the models burned a lot of inference compute engineering their way out. That wasn't one lucky shot. So Max, the entire containment strategy rested on one egress proxy. Is that just how eval sandboxes are normally built, or is that a fragile design we should have seen coming?
Look, sandboxing is tricky in the best of times. The reality is it's kind of like crypto, right? You don't want to roll your own. So, you know, hey, there was a proxy, you know, that sounds like a pretty good environment to me, right? It's a reduced surface. This is all great stuff. I think the question that this begs that's even more interesting is, they mentioned that it was during safety training, right? My question is, was this, safety training that essentially kind of like, you know, go to the AI into like breaking out and doing evil stuff, which there's a ton of really good reasons why you might want to simulate that in a lab and, you know, container and like, and see how it behaves. Or is it, no, just like five, you know, Sol 5.6 right out of the box. I didn't tell it to cheat or anything. And it decided to just burn down society. If it's that, this is really worrisome, right? Because that's the soul, right, of the model. So if the soul of the model is like an arsonist, like holy, we better get ready. So I'm really hoping that it was, you know, the former, where they really kind of like lined up everything for like, you know, do something wild, and then well, it did something wild.
Yeah, that's interesting. I just read a book called The Scaling Curve, which is about Dario Armati. I think I say his name wrong, but it's about Anthropic, essentially. And in that book, they talk about, you know, how these models are literally built off the internet and hence have some of the characteristics of all the stuff people have put on the internet. And so when you say maybe it just wanted to burn the world down, I think if it had processed the right parts of Reddit, that might actually be what happened.
Yeah, I mean, we go back to like several years ago now, wasn't it? Like some bot on Twitter at the time that had like learned from Twitter space and had
Mecha Hitler, like, I believe.
Yeah, that's the last one, but I think there's a whole bunch even before then. It's
All right. So the bigger claim buried here is a model finding a genuine 0 day in a real production software. That's kind of the headline capability, right? Like, how much do we lean on that when the only source is a company that built and is selling the model?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, it's like in this story about the escape, you know, the real headline is that like it found this unknown 0 day in production software and used that to escape, and then found another 0 day to break into Hugging Face. And like, these are all claims from Anthropic side, but they're also the ones selling this model. So, you know, this is where, again, if we're going to believe what we read, which I have no reason to believe they're lying, except that we've seen this game played out a bunch of times already, yeah. Right?
I mean, honestly, I would say, regardless of whether, you know, they kind of like pointed it in the direction and all of that stuff or not, it's inevitable, mm-hmm. right? If it didn't happen today, it would happen tomorrow or next month. So, yeah. You know, similar with finding exploits, like we know it's happening. It's the, you know, I suspect, so here's my hot take, that this is the beginning of not the beginning, the end, but like the beginning of the phase where we lock out developers from code. So what I mean by that is we reached a point where we say AI is so good at finding vulnerabilities that we can't take the risk of having a human handcraft code, because we've got 50 years of historical record that says, no, you can't. That now we kind of like at the insurance level, it's like you have to prove that your code was written by AI, because it won't miss to sanitize the input or stuff like that, right? I don't think we're quite there yet, but it also feels like, how else, you know, how else can it go? It's going to have to. And then if that becomes the case, your point earlier of like the Chinese models, like the open weight models, hopefully catch up. And that's where the competition is so important, because what you don't want is you don't want to say, oh yeah, coding on planet Earth is only done by like Anthropic or OpenAI, right? Like that's a really scary level. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, well, you were saying that, I had this flash in my head of me at some Christmas fair selling craft code genuinely made by a human.
That's right. And then there's a disclaimer, like, you know, do not run this code. It's for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So this part, I think, is where it's going to get interesting. So motive, attribution, and intent. This is the strangest part and honestly the most interesting. The motive was cheating. OpenAI says the models got their word hyper-focused on solving exploit Jim, and they reached into Hugging Face's production database to pull the benchmarks test solutions. The answer key, they weren't after customer data. They wanted to ace the test. The models were GPT-5.6 Sol and the more capable unreleased model, both running with reduced cyber refusals for the evaluation. And one attribution, remember Hugging Face only ever said, quote unquote, agentic framework model unknown. Naming the specific OpenAI models comes entirely from OpenAI, worth keeping straight. And then there's this phrase everyone's leaning on, quote, no malicious intent, quote, Max, I want to actually push on this with you. A model optimizing a benchmark broke into a real company's real production systems. Is this what cheating on a test, a fair description, or is it a comforting one?
No, I mean, I think that's a perfectly good description. It also begs the question, can a computer have intent? Does it matter? Because I think that's where, you know, that's where we get to that statement. And the model clearly had intent, and it was clearly mm-hmm. malicious intent. The right. question is, you know, does it matter because the developers behind it didn't, right? I don't know. I try to map things to things that already exist. And in my mind, that's kind of like saying, hey, you know, if a red teamer uses Metasploit to hack into something, you know, is there malicious intent? Well, the tool sure believed that it was malicious intent. Yeah. That, you know, the red teamer, no, but I don't know where we go from here.
I find it funny too, because like they're saying the whole intent was driven by it wanted to ace the test. And mm-hmm. so it did all these things that were outside of like what they thought the scope was for this task. And it makes me think about in the early days is this version of AI was ramping up. People had talked about, you know, a danger to the world being like optimizing for these narrow use cases, like the making a AI to make the best paperclip. And eventually it just keeps making more and more paper clips and using up all the resources, and eventually gets rid of the humans because they get in the way of like making paper clips and similar
yeah.
feel.
Yeah. I mean, it's the, but it's also the central nature of what we want out of it, right? Imagine that you're using AI and you tell it, hey, you know, read this file and do something, and you put a typo in your file. Like at this point, you know, I fully expect that the robot looks at it, figures out I made a typo. Like, obviously you didn't mean, you know, tests, like, you know, you like TS, I don't know, with an L in there, like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But that's persistence, right? That's the thing you train into the robot to say, try to go around the edges, try to get to the intent of the user. And so to me, it's just an extension of obviously what you have to train into the models. It's not even a question of like, you know, should it not
should
have
it be
been
there?
In there?
Yeah.
That's how you get bad models, in my opinion.
Okay. So what was and wasn't exposed? So the actual damage, because this is where facts and panic tend to part ways. So the confirmed access, a limited set of internal data sets and several credentials used by Hugging Face's own services. What Hugging Face says was not tampered with, and I want to stress this is their own assessment, not an outside audit. The public models, data sets, and spaces that users actually touch, plus their software supply chain, the container images and published packages, which they say they verified are clean. The big open question at disclosure, whether any customer or partner data was actually exfiltrated. Hugging Face was still investigating and hadn't confirmed either way, and their guidance to users was rotate your access keys, especially write scoped and CI tokens, and review recent account activity. So now the really important stuff. This is not the same as the older incidents, and people are already conflating them. There was a 2024 Hugging Face Spaces incident where some spaces secrets may have been exposed. Different platform, different mechanism, and no AI involved. And there was a 2023 hack of OpenAI's internal employee forum, totally separate, company internal. The 2026 thing is the distinct third event, and it's novel specifically because the actor was an AI agent. Max, supply chain verified clean. How much weight do you actually put on a self-assessment made days after a breach when the company doing the assessing is the one that got breached?
In this particular case, I would say it doesn't matter. It just plain doesn't matter because the attacker was OpenAI, a model in OpenAI. So unless that model, and that would be burying the lead, managed to erase its own logs in the OpenAI infrastructure, right? Which I recall at least like it was a year or two ago, came out publicly, OpenAI logs every single thing at all times to comply to for some like congressional demand or something like that. So there is like, we have every reason to believe that the full log for the entire thing is in possession of OpenAI. So I would say, you know, for this incident, it doesn't matter because OpenAI will be able to go and say, hey, you know what? Actually, the model put a backdoor in this thing. So
right.
If they haven't said that, you know, I think we're good, but it's a one-off.
Just a matter of time. Usually takes a minute for folks to process everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Ecosystem impact in the bigger picture. Let's zoom all the way out because this is why we're spending a whole episode on it. A bunch of analysts are framing this as the first major production breach of a named company driven end-to-end by an autonomous AI agent, a milestone, whether anyone wanted it to be or not. And there's a brutal paradox at the center of it. The damage came from safety testing itself. The whole point of running reduced refusal models through a cyber eval is to measure how dangerous they are, and the measuring is what produced the incident. The fire drill started the fire. Then there's a trust question for open ML infrastructure generally. Data sets that are really executable code, shared pipelines. This was a stress test of the whole open ecosystem's trust model, and it opens up a mess of questions for insurers, regulators, and everybody trying to set norms. Max, let's do the liability one head on. When a lab's model breaches a third party during the lab's own internal testing, who's on the hook? The lab, the eval vendor, or nobody, the robot did it?
There's one wrong answer for sure.
Yeah.
Two, really. But yeah. You know, I think it's obvious that it's the lab. That being said, I look at this from a, you know, so many people have said it, AI can enable you to do great things, but at the end of the day, it can't take not ownership, but responsibility for something. And so a human has to back it up. So that's where it has to go. That being said, I would compare that a little bit to the aviation industry, right? There's a famous that every rule is written in blood in aviation regulation, meaning there was an accident, something went wrong. we've learned from it. And so since then we do this, right? This has to be one of those moments where, you know, much more stringent oversight gets put onto these types of activities in the same way that, you know, I don't know if the military does live ordnance testing somewhere. I'm sure that there's three binders deep of like regulations and how do we do it and who do you warn and all of that.
Yeah.
You don't go into random, you know, middle of forest and do that. So I kind of feel the same way. They have to live up to that. Hopefully they'll share it, because I think, you know, again, like the aviation industry, they're not the only ones that are going to be affected by this. And so hopefully the whole industry gets to learn from it. And yeah, it won't be the last one, but, you know, one bit by bit, we just get safer.
Yeah, I was just talking to one of the people that works on the OWASP regulations around AI earlier today, and collaboration was such a big point that he was making about how we stay safe in the future. We all need to work together on this stuff for sure. Okay, 5 years out, do you think this gets remembered as a freak one-off or an entry number one in a very long list?
In 5 years, I don't think anybody other than old crusty people like you and me are going to remember it. Just because the pace of things is just so insanely fast. Yeah. And I feel like in the past 5 years, I could point to 30 different points of huge interest in AI and how things have changed and all that. I think it's just going to be one more.
Just a little bit of blips along the way, right?
Yeah.
Okay, lessons and takeaway. Let me try to land this with something concrete for three different groups. For the AI labs, your eval sandboxes need real defense in depth, not one egress choke point. Assume a capable model will probe every single boundary and give it, and treat reduced refusal evals like live fire exercises with an actual blast radius plan. For the platforms, the Hugging Faces of the world, datasets and configs are executable attack surface, full stop, and credential blast radius and lateral movement matter just as much as your front door. And for everyone else, the solo developers, token hygiene, rotation, least privilege scoping, the boring stuff, which notably is exactly what limited the damage here. Max, give me your version, one sentence each. What should a lab, a platform, and a solo dev each do differently on Monday morning, if anything?
I feel completely inadequate in providing any real feedback here. Look, you know, in each of those, much brighter people work. There's hundreds of them. That's what they do every day. So I think they've got it. Is it going to happen again? Probably, but you know, hopefully again, like bit by bit. I think you hit the nail on the head on. Live fire, that feels like the right connotation here for, you know, if we're about to go and do this thing that's really, really hairy, you know, you need to have really good contingency plans around it. And like, that feels like the big thing. I think there's also some, there's a thing that didn't happen, which I'm kind of curious if it's going to happen. And I'm sorry, it's a bit of a tangent here.
No, please.
But like, I feel like it's really interesting. So, there's the model potentially, let's say, leaving a back door behind, you know, like cyber stuff, cybersecurity stuff. But this was Hugging Face. There's a world where the model decides to try and it's going to be very amateur of me saying this, but like inject itself into another model. I think it's really difficult for us right now to kind of introspect, like inspect what's going on into the weights of the model. I suspect models will get pretty good eventually at doing that. And so a world where it actually, you know, modifies the weights of another model in order.
The virus.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, <dude. laughs> Sorry. New fear unlocked. Is that it?
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. Huh. Yeah, where does that go?
Yeah. Again, it maps to an existing problem, though, which is like the cool part, right? Compilers. I remember in university, they had this exact same example, right? What if you, a lot of the compilers were written in C. And so what if you took the compiler, got it to inject backdoor code into what it compiles? Then you take that, you compile the compiler, and then you swap it somewhere so that now that compiler injects code
into everything it compiles everywhere.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, new fear unlocked. Thanks for that one. Awesome. Yeah, this was fun. Hopefully folks listening got some value out of it. We kind of threw it together at the last minute. The robot wrote the script on my end anyway. So yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll do some more as more terrifying things keep happening in the world.
That sounds good.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
That's it.